Good morning. It's time now for the Tawas United Methodist Church service from Tawas City, here on the Bay's best, WIOS.
So you can just give me your choice.
Are we ready?
We're ready.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Tawas Methodist Church. We're located at 20 East M55 in Tawas, Michigan. And you're welcome to join us for worship on Saturdays at 4 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 10. We're broadcasting live this morning from our sanctuary. I'm Chris Kapler. I'm the pastor here, and we're so glad that you've joined us for worship today. And you can join us for our live broadcast at WIOSradio.com and by radio at 1480 AM and 106.9 FM. You can also watch our live stream on Zoom and Facebook and YouTube. And links to all of these are accessible at our website, tawasumc.org. And remember, you can always learn more about us at our website, tawasumc.org. Got some announcements this morning, and I just want to remind you, please take the red registration of attendance pad that's in your pew and put your name there. Let us know you're here. Pass it on to the people beside you in the pew. And if you have a note or question, let us know that as well. Our weekend schedule begins on Saturdays with the men's prayer group at 8:30. And Saturday worship at 4, and Sunday mornings, Sunday school at 9 for children and adults, and traditional worship at 10. Today's a special day. We're going to have a celebration dinner this afternoon, or after this worship service. So please plan to attend and celebrate our new beginning as Tawas Methodist Church. We have some important ministry needs we'd like to share with you. Our welcome and information table is a great way for us to get to know visitors who come to our church. We need workers who will help us work on that table. And we also need IT team members. We're thankful for those who have signed up and have been trained and are continuing to be trained, but we need more. So you don't have to be a guru with technology, but you do have to be willing to learn. And then our coffee and after service, we have sign-up sheets in the gathering space for those. By the way, there is also a sign-up sheet for IT team members who would like to take the IT responsibility. Your sign-up sheet is out there for that. Monday, July 10th, our ladies will have their Bible study at 11 a.m., Monday will be the first day of the whole week of setting up for the fish rummage sale from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., so you'll see that on every day on the slide. On Tuesday, we also have the prayer ministry at 5 p.m., Tuesday, July the 11th, as well as the setup for fish rummage sale in the morning. And on Wednesday, same thing, setting up for a fish rummage sale in the morning, sanctuary choir meets at 5:45, and the book study at 7 p.m., Thursday, our trustees committee will meet at 6:30 p.m. with continued setup for the rummage sale in the morning. And on Friday, no more setup. The rummage sale begins. Fish rummage sale from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Friday. That's the 14th. And on the 15th, the rummage sale continues from 9 to 4 p.m. with regular Saturday activities of men's morning group and casual service. And then next Sunday, again, a very special Sunday. The Tawas Methodist Church will have our inaugural church conference. It's basically a business meeting. Every year in the past, we had a church conference in the fall, like October, November, and that's where we took care of important business. Well, now we're an independent church, and until we decide anything different, that could be 6 months or it could be the rest of our lives. But anyway, we'll have business meetings, and our first business meeting will be next week at 11 a.m. And so we hope that all members will be participating in that. Also next Sunday, our youth program will have its meeting at 4 p.m. Just a reminder, our missions committee is collecting food for the backpack program during summer. The red wagons in the gathering area are available for that. And then a reminder about the rummage sales, the fish rummage sales, the 14th and the 15th, and the Taos Methodist Women will be the following weekend of the 21st and the 22nd. Now that is all of the announcement I have. And so if you look in your bulletin, actually, the bulletin doesn't say, but it's funny. We are going to, before we go into our gathering hymn, we are going to have our special, actually, there's three rituals we're going to do very quickly. One is a baptismal covenant. Today we're going to have a baptism. Praise the Lord for that. And then we're going to reaffirm our faith as Christians. And then after that, we're going to transfer our membership from the Taos United Methodist Church to the Taos Methodist Church. Just, I always have to say this when we talk about membership. Just because you're here doesn't mean you're a member. We're glad you're here. You may be here for 50 or more years and not be a member. But for those who are members of the Taos United Methodist Church, your membership, and you don't even have to be here. You can be watching online, you can be in Timbuktu, but all of the members of the Taos United Methodist Church will be transferred to membership in the Taos Methodist Church. And since I'm talking about this, if you're not a member of the Taos United Methodist Church, and you would like to become a member of the Taos Methodist Church, then we will have new members meetings in September or October. They will be announced at that time, and we'd love it if you would join the class. So, let me invite Mary B., as lay leader of our congregation, to come help me with this. Mary is going to present the candidates for baptism and reaffirmation of faith and transfer of their membership to the Taos Methodist Church.
I present Chase LaFaye for baptism. I present all current members of the Taos United Methodist Church to reaffirm their faith and transfer their membership to the Taos Methodist Church.
Thank you, Mary. Now I'd like to ask you if you'll take your hymnals out of the pew there. Take your hymnals. We're going to begin on page 34. This is part of the baptismal covenant. Page 34. I'm going to read sections 4 and 6, which pertain to our service this morning. Page 34 in the baptismal covenant number 1, sections 4 and 6. Now, I'd like to invite Chase, if you please come forward. That's good. Now, in this service, there are going to be parts where Chase speaks, there's going to be parts where the whole congregation speaks, and I'll try to direct this all. So, Chase, you can just face me. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift offered to us without price. So on this special day, we affirm our Christian faith and transfer the membership of all Taos United Methodist Church members to Taos Methodist Church. In doing so, we also recommit ourselves to Christ's Holy Church and our local congregation, Taos Methodist Church. Now, on page 34, these questions will be directed to you, Chase, okay? And I'll give you the response as I ask the question. On behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? And if so, you can say, I do. Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? And if so, answer, I do. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord, in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? And if so, answer, I do. Amen. Now, according to the grace given you, will you remain a faithful member of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representative in the world? And if so, answer, I will. And now, for the congregation. Do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ?
We do.
Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include this person now before you in your care?
With that self, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround these persons with the community of love and forgiveness, that they may grow into the trust of God. May find faithful in the service of others. We will pray for them, that they may be true disciples, who are on the way of the easy life.
Let us join all together in professing the Christian faith as contained in the scriptures of the Old and the New Testament. Stand next to you, we can read this together. Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ?
I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day He rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead.
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Amen. Now, Chase, I'd like to ask you to come up here at the baptismal font, and I will bring the water. Now, before I baptize Chase, I'd just like to share a little bit. Some of you are familiar with a ministry our church began earlier this year called the Breakfast Club. And the Breakfast Club was a breakfast that we served to, well, students from the ages of about 15 to 20, most of them from the Alternative Education Academy across the street from the church. We served every Wednesday. We'd have a very nice breakfast because we have the best cooks in the world here at the church. Did I hear a woo-hoo? Well, Sharon and Jan, and help from a few others, but thank you. And we had, on average, 15 to 17 students every Wednesday morning. And we would share a little devotion with them. And on one of those Wednesday mornings, I just just thought, well, today I'm going to share the gospel. And a number of them were listening very carefully, and I shared the gospel and told them that they needed to make a decision to follow Christ on their own. And Chase was there that day, and he was listening very carefully. It wasn't very long after that that Chase came by and said he'd like to consider baptism. So Chase and I met for three times. We talked about the gospel. We talked about baptism. And he said, yes, I'd like to follow through with that. So today, Chase is before you. We want you to encourage him and encourage one another in our Christian faith. Amen.
Yeah.
This is cold. Just thought I'd let you know. I don't want you to be shocked or anything. This water, we don't talk about it very much, but this water actually represents death. We go down into the water. If we were to be at the lake right now, we die. We go down into the water and we die, just as Christ died on the cross. And we come up out of the water, breathing again. And that's the newness of life. It's a symbol of the newness of life that comes to us by faith in Jesus Christ. So, Chase, when I put this on your head, I'll put it on three times to represent the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay. So, Chase, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, that's Jesus Christ, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, Chase, the Holy Spirit worked within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. And everybody said,
amen.
And now I want to continue. They're on page 37. I have, yeah, don't put those away. We're not done yet. Middle of page 37. When all the candidates have been baptized, the pastor invites the congregation to welcome them. So now it is our joy to welcome Chase, our new brother in Christ. And let's respond, through baptism, you are incorporated by the Holy Spirit into God's new creation and made to share in Christ's royal priesthood. We are all one in Christ Jesus. With joy and thanksgiving, we welcome you as a member of the family of Christ. Amen. And now, I am moving down to number 13 on the same page, page 37. And this is where we are going to reaffirm our faith in Jesus Christ. And I've added a little part to this, but I will help you through it. Members of Taos United Methodist Church, do you reaffirm your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord? And if so, answer, we do.
We do.
Remember your baptism and be thankful. And if so, answer, amen.
Amen.
Now, I would like to address all current members of Taos United Methodist Church. Members of Taos United Methodist Church, having voted to disaffiliate from the denomination, and that vote having been approved by the Michigan Annual Conference of the United Methodist Church, do you hereby declare that you are no longer members of the Taos United Methodist Church and of the Michigan Conference of the United Methodist Church for the purpose of transferring your membership to the Taos Methodist Church? And if so, answer, we do.
We do.
Will you be loyal to the Taos Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries, and if so answer, we will. As members of Taos Methodist Church, will you faithfully participate in its ministries by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, and your service, and if so answer, we will. Members of the household of God, I commend all of you to one another, to watch over each other in love. Do all in your power to increase one another's faith, confirm each other's hope, and perfect each other in love. And if so, answer, we will, depending on God's abundant grace. We will, depending on God's abundant grace. Now, the God of all grace, who has called us to eternal glory in Christ, establish you and strengthen you by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you may live in grace and peace. And all the people said,
Amen.
Amen. And now I'd like to ask Sean if you'll lead us in the gathering hymn.
Let's stand and sing together. The church is one foundation, and it's Heavenly Word 545.
With silent prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful to you this morning for sending your Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, into the world to be the atoning sacrifice that brings us back together with you. And as we gather to worship today, inspire our singing and inhabit the praises of your people, and encourage us in our newly reaffirmed faith that we hold in you. Help us daily to take up this faith and be confident that you are with us, and put your word in our hearts. Father, we lift up our members and friends who are not able to be in church today and ask that you make your presence known to them. Encourage them where they're at. And help us, Lord, as a church, to be a witness for Christ in our community and beyond. And we give you the praise. We pray all these things in Jesus' name, the Lord of heaven and earth, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Amen.
bells first. Now is the time for the bell solo. Thank you.
Did anyone get to the top and ring the bell? You did?
Every single one. Well, so I guess it was more of a buzzer than a bell. Did anybody look up there at that rock wall and say, "That's scary"? Anybody do that? That's what I did the first time I saw it. Wow, if I was half the size I am now, kind of like your size, that's pretty scary. So I would be climbing all the way to the top. Today, I've asked our IT team to prepare a slideshow of our time at Vacation Bible School. Would you guys like to see that?
Yeah.
Okay, why don't you turn your heads around, just look up here, and I'll ask you. Oh, you could look back there too. This is it. On the Road Vacation Bible School, and it was Bayshore Camp, right? The people that were the leaders, they were from Bayshore Camp. For 4 days, you guys were here for four full days. You had fun in the sun, Bible stories. Yeah? You guys need to be looking up there right now, okay? That's what we're doing.
In the darkness, we
dismissed to your church.
What's David saying? Hymn number 367. Little text.
We'd get out about 11:30, I'm sure. And lunch is waiting, right? Let me just begin by telling you that this passage begins with that phrase, as God's chosen ones. Okay, he's talking to the church. This is a book, the book of Colossians is a letter from Paul to the church of Colossae, and it's a very good passage to talk about a description of the church. We see that right here. Paul doesn't say this is what the church is. He doesn't talk about, you know, like if you want to form a church or be a church or start something new, this is what you need to do. But if you look at what he writes here, this is it. ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, this is the church. He says, you're chosen. And I know as soon as you talk about chosen, then people start saying, well, you know, did God do that, you know, before the foundation of the earth, and we had no decision in the process, and you get into those theological arguments, which really are not helpful anyway. The bottom line is, if you're a believer in Christ, you're chosen, and you're part of the church. Not only are you chosen, but just so you know, that chosen doesn't mean God's got his eye on you, and he's looking for you if you do something wrong. That's not what chosen means. Why? Because it says you're holy, and it says you're dearly loved or beloved. Well, holy, well, first of all, chosen means God has selected you. Holy means he's set you apart from other people. And loved means he's got your best interests in mind, provided that you put your faith in him. Don't expect God to have your best interests in mind if you do something ungodly. That should go without description. Now, there's 6 points here that I want to tell you very quickly. 3 of them have to do with how we live as Christians. 3 of them have to do with how God lives through us as the church. Just wonderful as you look at it. It's like this is the structure of the church in relational terms. And he basically says, be clothed. Clothe yourself with. And he gives a list there. If you look at that list, it's very similar to the list in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, where Paul talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Look at these things. Compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience. These are virtues. Virtues that come from God. These aren't virtues that we say, okay, I'm going to try to be compassionate. Yes, you can be compassionate. And other people can be compassionate. But the compassion that God's talking about is be interested in other people. See their fallen state and do everything you can to help them come to God. It's like when Jesus saw the people, he said, they're like sheep without a shepherd. What kind of shepherd? The kind of shepherd that leads them to God. So compassion is not just looking at the needs of people physically, emotionally, relationally. It's looking at their desperate need for God. And all that things are the same. These are virtues. Clothe yourself with virtue. People don't talk about virtue much these days, do they? Thought about that, meditated on that this week. Why don't people talk about virtue? The thing that I came up with is because people don't like to talk about sin. And you might take issue with that. Well, yeah, people don't like to talk about sin, but what's that have to do with virtue? It has a lot to do with virtue. How do you clap with one hand? It's kind of hard, isn't it? If you have a society that says, well, we don't like the idea of sin, so we're not going to talk about it, virtue is a casualty. Because if you don't talk about sin, there's no reason to talk about virtue. And this is where our society is at today. One person says, this is my truth, this is my virtue, and another person says, that's your truth and that's your virtue. And the church, the only group of people on earth who have the reason to talk about sin, have also the reason to talk about virtue. Virtue ought to be the passion of every Christian. Even when we fall short. That's okay, I fell short. Lord, I confess my sin. I want to move on because virtue is my passion. After all, the alternative is not so good. Clothe yourself with virtue. Bear with one another. When you read carefully here, you'll see what Paul is saying. Bearing with each other is primarily in the area of forgiveness. And he's talking about the church. He's not really talking about forgiving people outside of the church. You can do that too. But this is in the church. Why? Because God brings people together who otherwise probably wouldn't be together. The one thing that brings us together is faith in Jesus Christ and a love for God. And we come from all kinds of backgrounds and experiences. Forgive one another. And he says, as Christ forgave you. Well, how did Christ forgive us? Christ forgave us when it hurt. When it hurt the most. That means when someone sins against you so much that it hurts, you forgive them. You let it go. You bury it. But you don't just bury it, let it come back up again later. When you bury it, it's dead with Christ on the cross. And you rise to not have that burden you any longer. That's what forgiveness is all about. And then he says, and clothe yourself with love. That's like, wrap it all up with love. Wrap it all up with love. And this, you cannot mistake what love is about here. Like our society just has no clue what love is about, it seems like. Love here, it's like an outer garment. Clothe yourself with virtue, bear with one another, and then clothe yourself with love. It's like you have your inner garment of the virtues, and then your outer garment just wraps all those virtues up together, and it's a commitment. It's like an intentional life that seeks the better of the other person. All of these are individually focused on other people. I'm virtuous. Why am I virtuous? So that I can express that virtue to somebody else. I bear with somebody so that I can forgive them. And I clothe myself with love so that I can commit myself to other people, because that kind of lifestyle builds up the church. And then the other three. He says, let the peace of Christ rule in you, among you. Let the peace of Christ. Now, this is not the peace that makes us polite to each other. This is not the peace that you get with coffee and donuts. Okay? This is not the kind of peace that seeks to minimize disagreements. The peace of Christ that passes understanding is the peace that comes when we are no longer enemies with God. That's the kind of peace he's talking about here. He's saying, let this peace rule your hearts, the peace that you have with God. If you have peace with God, you are going to intentionally seek love with your neighbor. And this is on a corporate level as well. As the church is in peace with God, only way you can do that is exalt the gospel of Jesus Christ. It becomes the message that people identify us with. And then, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another with all wisdom. And then we end after that, but let me just say something about the word of God. The word of God is powerful and active. I probably say this every Sunday, but that's okay. I'll never forget hearing this story, and I probably shared it with you before, about the missionary who planted a church in a village in Africa. It was kind of an isolated village, and he worked there for years. And then he left his ministry and went back home to his home country. And there was no missionary that came to follow him up. And he appointed a person to lead as pastor. Now, it's your church. You're the pastor of the church. And about 5 years later, a missionary passed through there. And he said, I'm going to go visit that church because I know it's there. And he met the pastor. And he said, how's it going? And he says, oh, I gather the church every Sunday. And I preach to him. He says, what are you preaching? And he showed him the message. And he says, well, what else are you preaching? And he said, what do you mean? Yeah, like, don't you have a few different sermons you're preaching? No, this is the sermon that the last missionary left with us. How many times have you preached that sermon? Well, every Sunday. Well, for how long? Well, it's been 5 years. Needless to say, that congregation had a good handle on what that sermon was about. We need to let God's word indwell us. Meditate on it. And just read Psalm 1. It talks about how meditating on the word of God changes and transforms us and makes us fruitful for Christ. And lastly, sing. Sing songs, hymns, and spiritual songs to God.